What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful with those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough. We can go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. Shout out to our friends at NeuroGum for keeping us energized and focused throughout our shows. NeuroGum is a chewing gum with caffeine, B vitamins, 6, 12, and L-theanine. Helps with memory recall, focus, and energy. I like to chew it whenever I'm, during podcasts, while I'm doing CrossFit, while I'm just driving around showing houses or doing jiu-jitsu. I like it all the time, so I use it a lot. Usually, I like using it in the afternoons before, instead of reaching for another coffee or energy drink, I just grab a piece of NeuroGum. Usually pretty good to go. So get out there, try some NeuroGum.
And I just learned that it'll clear up your sinuses because I just popped like 3 of them in my mouth at a time, and now I'm breathing clean. So it also helps with that. Throw that out there. But anyway, also shout out to our people over at Fit Flavors. Now for a couple more weeks, we got the promo code PODCAST50. So go online, buy an online gift card with Fit Flavors and use the promo code PODCAST50, get 50% off. I went on, got a $1,000 gift card for $500. Literally, it lasted me for 2 months, and I eat there 3 times a day. It's great for people that are on the go that want to make sure they're eating healthy, tracking their meals, and being able to stay on top of that. It's perfect. It's got everything. Their quality control is awesome. They stay on top of it, and everything is the exact same. So, when you're looking at your macro count on there, that is exactly what you're getting. And so it's perfect for those on-the-go professionals or anybody that's looking to eat healthy while constantly being on the go. Pop it in the microwave for 1:30, and you have yourself a delicious meal. New menu drops June 3rd.
Yeah, I'm excited to try it.
So, me too.
Now we're going to introduce our awesome guest today. He is a father, a military veteran, the owner of Evolve Properties, the great and powerful Wyatt Hayes.
Right on. Welcome, right on, sir. Right on, right
on. What's up, dude?
Hey, good to see you, man.
Well, welcome, welcome.
Glad to be here.
Well, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so where do I start? For my adult life, I guess. I was in the military. I was a builder in the Seabees, which is
the Navy.
Construction unit of the Navy, yep. So doing majority, contingency construction for different sort of, humanitarian mm-hmm. efforts and things like that. It was definitely a good learning experience, but I've been out now for 4 years, worked for a guy doing fix and flips for a little bit. And, worked just kind of doing the labor, learning the things like that. And then, started being a project manager for a company. Been doing that for the last few years. And for the last, 6 months, they kind of taught me how to fish, right? It kind of mm-hmm. took me out, showed me the ropes, showed me how the business side of the things go. And, I got my first deal about 5 months ago, flipped that thing around pretty quick, got it sold. And then, on this deal that you're selling for me, got that deal, that one's about to close on the 30th. So, and then, just rolling.
What's funny about that is, so, you and I met, we didn't really know each other super well. You found me through Instagram, which is the power of social media, which I preach on here all the time. If you're someone in the getting started out in the real estate industry, like I would advise getting started with that social media and really start building that, because it takes some time. I mean, I've been doing it for 5 years, and look, I'm finally starting to get business from it. And I'm not saying that just because you're, business, but that's how you and I came across each other. And I went over to this house right before Wyatt started flipping it. It looks like I think it was just a couple of days after you purchased it. And you're like, yeah, it'll be ready in like 3 weeks. And I'm like looking around, I'm like, okay, buddy, then sure as hell, dude, he calls me 3 weeks later and is like, hey man, we're pretty much done. Just need to do a couple more things and we're gonna be ready to roll. And I was like, oh shit, this guy means business. Especially like I've been in doing this long enough that I've seen people a lot of times they overestimate what they can get done in a time. I look around, I'm like, okay, well, this is like a lot to do in 3 weeks, but hey, if you can do it, great. But if not, obviously it'll just be down the road. But I was super impressed by like how fast you turned that property around and turned out great.
That, man, I'm just balls to the walls, man. Like if you get the project and then your money's solely determined on your effort, it just makes it so much easier to just get in there and just give it, you know, give it hell, right? It's like just getting in there and just getting after it. And then luckily I had my buddy from the military. He came and helped out for a week. So, you know, he's in California. Like I was telling you guys, he's got a big sort of chicken business going on in the Philippines, and, you know, he's incredible. So, great asset to have, especially just because he's on the same vibe of just grinding, right? He's just ready to just get after it.
So, you know, you had your first deal. I helped you out with the second. I know it sounds like you got a couple more in the pipeline.
Yeah. A couple more. So, you know, I mean, you guys know just as well as I do, it's just it's a grind, right? You finish it up and then you got the inspection and you got, you know, stuff to kind of decipher. But it's, you know, I've been saying this for like the last 3 years, man. I can see that light at the end of the tunnel, right? I can barely see it just flickering, but it's starting to get brighter and brighter. And yeah, it just feels fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, man. If there's one thing I've noticed in this industry, like, man, you got to find waves of momentum, you know, and really ride that thing, just because, you know, you never know. I mean, the business is always kind of going up and down. Like there's always peaks and valleys. And it's like, whenever you hit one of those peaks, man, you got to ride that wave.
Yeah.
And like, try to get that thing to go as far as you can. Cause you know, I mean, you know, especially businesses, I mean, all three of us really were, you know, we're on a kind of a transaction treadmill, as I like to refer to it as. It's like, you know, we're always, you know, we're only making money when we're closing deals. And so it's like, you just got to always be looking for the next thing, which, you know, can get exhausting at times.
Yeah. No, definitely. You know, but you know, at the same time, like I was a little fearful, right, when I started this, and cause I got, you know, two kids, man, I got a lot on my shoulders. So, you know, for me to kind of jump out there and, you know, in the deep end and really start swimming, you know, was kind of fearful. But, when you get out there and you have so much confidence in yourself, just cause you know, you've been doing it the right way, you've been shown the right way to do it, you just execute. It's not as scary, right? Like when you get that first one done, it's like, oh, okay, you know, I'm getting, and then you get the next one and then it just starts flowing. And then, you know, when word gets out that you're doing deals, now you've got people, I've got everyone calling my phone, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to do deals. Hey, I got this deal. Hey, I got that, you know, hey, you want to work together on this deal? So it just makes it, you know, a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, some advice I would give, you know, I mean, to you and to anybody out there really, is just like, just be mindful of like your time and like, don't spread yourself too thin, you know, like got to realize that you've got limitations. I mean, just cause I've done that personally where I've just like taken everything that I can. And then like all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, I can't handle it. Like this is too much. Like I'm feeling overwhelmed. And then, you know, you're not giving the good quality work if you have a standard for your work and, you know, and you have too much going on, that standard is going to have, and you don't want to lower your standard is what I'm saying. So you want to keep your standards high.
Yeah.
So.
My business partner was telling me the same thing when I got in this business. You know, dude he's a $100 million producer. I'm like, that's what I want to be. And he's like, Pat, he's like, but you need to make sure you're doing it and scaling it in a way that each year that you're growing with it, that you're not losing the quality of professionalism and your ability for customer service and things like that along the way, because that's what's important. Obviously, customer service isn't really for you guys. Customer service is going to be more like the actual detail of the work that you're putting into it, where ours is just more service related. So the customer service aspect, a detail oriented or being detail oriented on that side of it versus the actual detail orientation of what you're actually like the work that you're putting in. But yeah, getting to that point is, you know, making sure you're not growing too fast to where you're compromising what makes you exactly. And what separates you from those people. And then you also mentioned that light at the end of the tunnel. You never want that thing to fade.
Exactly.
You know, it's only bigger and bigger, but you never quite get to it, or you're, because once you feel like you get to it, I mean, what else do you have?
What next?
So, you know, yeah, it's nice to see it and see it like it's drawing closer and closer, but it should always just be just out of reach.
Right.
It's that carrot, you know?
Absolutely.
Exactly. Chasing that carrot.
Heck yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, well, so you've done the flips. What do you got in the works currently?
Yeah. So, you know, the flips are going to be the main bulk of the cash coming in, right? Like for what I'm trying to do, fix and flips, long-term rental, short-term rental stuff. You know, that's kind of the next kind of thing I'm trying to step into when the cash is a little bit, you know, thicker. But, you know, a big part of the business, I think, is going to be working with different investors, right? Like, because everybody gets to a point where they've got so many deals and they can only handle so much fix and flips. And then when you have a massive, you know, a massive overhead amount of money to pay for your project manager, and then you've got an internal construction group, the deals just become more and more expensive for these bigger companies that are doing them. And so that's kind of where I'm trying to partner with people, you know, on those deals. Like they've got, you know, these people that are sending out flyers and they've got a whole acquisitions team and they're just getting all these deals, but they can't handle the volume with getting them flipped. You know, that's where I'm going to kind of hopefully step in and take a couple of their deals and things like that. So that's kind of the sidebar of the business. Right. But yeah, I think it should work, man. It's feels good. Not gonna lie. Feels real good. You know, to have a direction, right. Just, I mean, obviously like I don't feel like I've crossed like any massive, you know, barriers or anything, but at the same time, it's like just to have that direction and then just operate from that future self, right? Like spend every day operating from where you're trying to be at. It's just, it takes a lot of the pressure off, you know, off the back. It's like, oh, you know, I got where I'm trying to go, not like trying to figure out where it is you're trying to go, you know?
No, what are some of the goals you have set for yourself for this year and then maybe for the next couple of years?
Yeah. So this year, I'm trying to do 3 more flips. You know, I guess it'll be 4, but you know, technically 3 after this one closes and stuff like that. So,
more after Swallowland.
Yeah. So I've got, you know, I've got 2 already, you know, prospect that are good. And I think that's a pretty light goal. Honestly, I think I might do, you know, 5 or 6, just depending on how the money flows, right? Like that's just the biggest thing. It's just, you know, keeping that, it's very cash extensive. I mean, you guys know, right? You're spending $60,000 on a place. Like, you know, it's not like I got millions of dollars laying around. Like that's like, you know, gambling a lot of my, like, that's like all my shit, you know, that's all my cash. Right. So like, but at the same time, you know, it's hoping for it to grow into something along those lines this year. Now for the next 3 to 5 years, I've developed, you know, a little plan of, you know, I'm trying to have 25 rentals, you know, 25 or so rentals, hoping to have 1 complex, you know, 5 units or above, and just start bringing in some of that cash that way too, just so I could, you know, bounce it against, find, you know, borrow against this and refinance the deals and put it into more deals and things like that. So, you know, that's the long term, but obviously, you know, I just got a lot of grinding in the meantime.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, so are you hoping, or those 25, are those going to be primarily single families? Is that kind of what you're targeting?
Yeah, mostly single families. You know, I would love to, you know, I would love, since I get the VA loan, right? Like I'm hunting right now for a 4 unit, you know, so I can live in 1 and then rent out the other 3 for the next couple years.
We did a deal like that and the dude walked away. He got paid $10,000. He got a check back at closing for $10,000. He got basically got paid to buy a 4 unit.
Yeah, dude.
VA guy.
Steel.
I've
got one right now that's, it looks like a good deal, but it's off Texas Ave, right? I sent this deal to you.
Oh,
you know,
that's
that,
right,
that 4 unit. So yeah, that deal, he still hasn't really moved on that deal just because there's, you know, a lot of work that needs to be done and it's tough because they're all 1 units, you know, so it's like, you know, how many people are looking for
one,
right?
Bedrooms.
It's tough, and it's not even like a solid 1 bedroom. It's like a shotgun style.
That's how a lot of those city 4 families are. I mean, I mean, you can find ones that are 2 bedrooms, but most of the 4 families that I come across, I feel like all the ones I walk are always 1 bedroom.
Dude,
would it be better just to convert it into a 2-story 2 bedroom?
Honestly,
like duplex,
like
style.
Turn it into like a townhome on each side.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that might be the move. But
yeah, I was working over.
I mean,
this
you get higher
place.
Rent that way,
right?
This guy's place, man, this thing was destroyed.
Really?
Like, you can't even just imagine, like, and there was people living in there, like, when he bought it. Like, you can't even just imagine, like, how are you?
I've seen some shit that'll just make, I mean, there's been multiple times where I've gone and seen a property and people live there. And then I call Gina or my wife, like, right afterwards. And I'm like, honey, I am so thankful for, like, our life and, like, how we, you know, like, you just see how some people live. And like it just makes me sad.
Yeah,
you know?
Especially when there's like kids stuff in there, dude. That's the worst. Mm-hmm. It's like you know that the kids have just been like crawling around on just like
yeah,
man. It just makes you feel for them, and then you just you know you look around in the world and you're like, well, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
yeah.
Right.
You know. I mean, we all don't have the same starting point. That's for sure. I mean, there's no equality there. That's for sure. You know, just because, you know, you could be born into a family with a, you know, trust fund, or you could be born in a family where you've, you know, you barely have a pot to piss in.
Where your parents, like our buddies, leave you to go chase drugs.
Yeah, exactly.
18 months old and you're...
And they leave you abandoned in a house for 4 days until your neighbors find you screaming because you're starving.
Yeah,
dude. We had a buddy of ours on the podcast, and him and his twin brother, they were, how old are they? Like
18 months, I think.
18 months old. Both his parents were addicted to drugs, and they you know, went out on a bender and just left the two kids in a pack in the pack and play for, like, days. And then, like, apparently the neighbors heard the kids screaming for, crying. Like, days straight. And they, like, eventually, like, called the cops, and they broke, you know, and they got basically put into the foster system after that. But just, like... Like, you know, that is very different from how I grew up, you know, like in you and I grew up, seriously, you know, we grew up in South County. And
shout out to those two guys for doing what they, for doing where they're at, doing what they're doing.
Both of those guys have incredible stories. We've only had one of them on, but we're going to get the other one on here soon. But
both are very successful, hardworking, just
killers, man.
Killers. Yeah.
And that's a tough thing is like, you know, we all are put in a position, you know, not by our own choice. Right. And it's hard to say this to people who've been in, like, a very, very rough situation. But, like, this is just the reality of it is that, you know, it comes a certain point in time in your life whenever, like, you have to take ownership for, like, everything that's happened to you. Like, you can't just, like, continually for the rest of your life put these things off on, oh, this is because of X, this is because of Y. Because, you know, at a certain point, you know, nobody's coming to save you. So, you know, it just, I mean, my life was pretty rough. I mean, not like that, obviously, but, you know, pretty rough, you know, and, you know, my dad was never around and stuff like that. So my mom worked like a ton. So it was just me kind of taking care of my sister. But, you know, at the same time, it's like, I had a guy tell me this, you know, a long time ago, and it stuck with me because it's like, dude, you can constantly blame, you know, other things for your situation. But, you know, we all get to a certain point in our life where it's like, on us, you know, and it sucks, you know, you got to take other people's shit, but like at the same time, like that's just how it is. So, you know, it's like just grinding, you know, just get through it. And
it's the deck of cards you're dealt, man. So you know, you deal with it or you fold, you know, and it's like, what do you just want to sit in the corner and cry about it your whole life?
It's not going to do anything for you.
Yeah. You know? Go out and get out there and do something about it, man. It's, yeah, I mean, that's some great advice. You know, did you grow up around here?
Yeah, so I grew up in Troy. Well, in most of my life in Troy.
Okay.
Out there in Troy. So, you know, good little town, you know, lots of just degenerates doing degenerative
You know the Schaefer brothers?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, played baseball with all those guys.
Awesome. Yeah. No, they got a cool facility out there now.
Yep.
Yeah, it's super cool. My little brother goes there.
Okay.
He's pretty good. He's a big boy. He's you know, those big boys on the baseball team. He's just like ready to smack a triple if he can make it. But no, yeah. So grew up out there in Troy. You know, I spent the beginning of my life in New Orleans, though. You know, we moved with when Hurricane Katrina came and stuff like that right before.
So you moved because of Katrina?
So it not because of, but around the exact same time. Like my mom was going through some stuff. We just had a rental there. She was living in a rental. So she's from Wentzville. Mm. So we moved, you know, literally right before. Like I think we moved in like July. Hurricane Katrina came in August. So it was like, you know, good
timing.
Yeah, good little fate, little thing there. But yeah, man, it was a good town. There's just, you know, it's tough growing up in these small towns, man. They just, if you see it, and as you guys grow, I mean, you guys, it's all the same around here, man, you know, like down the road and stuff, and you guys see it probably the same way I do. It's like, you know, if so many people just get into this sort of conundrum, man, like even some of my family members, they get into this sort of like living the same 6 months sort of over and over and over and over again and not kind of thinking that like these exterior actions that all these people are doing are for them, you know, and that's been like the biggest thing with me is just like getting out, right? Getting into different environments around different people. And you just start seeing life as like not as sort of like small minded, you know, closed in as it is, you know, to a lot of these people. So yeah, grateful for the military, man.
I was going to say, is that one of the reasons why you decided to join the military was kind of your way to get away?
Right. A little bit. Just kind of lost too. Right. Yeah. Like I'm 18 or 17. I'm lost. Like I was going to go to Mizzou and I'm like going there to sign my promissory note. I'm like, dude, $27,000. I'm like, I don't have $27,000, you know, for your debt. Right. For the first semester. I was like, you know, so I just went back to the drawing board and then I was just like, I had a message from a recruiter in my Facebook Messenger. And I was like messaging back. I'm like, yeah, man, I'd love to come in. And then I went in there and just, dude, left in like a month, you know, like
really?
No thinking. Yeah, like thinking back, it's like, dude, I handle my situation so much different now. You know, I think about it, but before I was like, oh yeah, sounds good. I'll go dedicate 5 years of my life to just something impulsively. I don't know.
Yeah. Just young and full of piss of vinegar, right, just ready to rock and roll.
Anything. Yeah. Give it to me.
Yeah. So within the military, let's talk a little bit about that. What was that like?
Pretty good time, honestly, man. So, you know, I met some really good guys, super good guys. And, yeah, I'd learned a lot of cool stuff. It's, you know, went on a few deployments with my construction battalion. Did some pretty cool stuff. We were in, right before I got out, I was in Ukraine, right before all this crazy war stuff was happening.
Really?
But, you know, it's crazy because, like, when you see life, you know, from a foreshadowing sort of aspect, and then you look back on it, you're like, wow, okay, that's why we were over there, you know? But really, we just were over there building, you know, a maritime operations center for their, you know, elites of their military to meet, and then a boat maintenance facility for all of the maintenance and construction that they did on these boats and stuff like that for the Ukrainian military. And it was pretty cool because, you know, as a CB, you're not on a ship. So, you know, we're living in town, you know, there was 12 of us guys living in town. You know, we get to go to the restaurant, live like kings, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, what was it like over there in Ukraine?
Super, super, super cool, man. Like, I really enjoyed my time over there. Like, I even said, like, you know, when I was leaving, I was like, dude, I would retire here.
You know,
you can get oceanfront property, like, 10 grand.
What?
Yeah, like, you know, right on the Black Sea. Because we were down there in Ochakov, which is, like, south of Mykolaiv, south of Odessa. It's, like, right on the Black Sea.
Is the Black Sea the one that's super salty?
That's the Dead Sea.
Dead Sea, okay.
Yeah, I mean, this was fishy, but, not super salty, but, yeah, it was nasty, bro. Like, just the town, you know, that we lived in was just like, you can, I mean, there's just no sort of, the trash system sucks, you know, the waste system, it's just, it's all probably dumped into there. And
just like all the shit and stuff, like all the sewage just goes into the ocean.
I'd imagine, I mean, I can't see it going anywhere else, right? Like, I just, I'm like wondering, like, where else? I don't see anything else here, but the people I met there were great, man. Cause like, you're living like a local, right? So like, I met like, and then obviously like, we have money there because it's 30-1. So like, we're eating, you know, two chicken breasts and some
30-1 meaning like dollar. One of our dollars is 30 of theirs.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Okay.
So you just go over there and just live like a king, you know, like drink a whole, eat a whole meal and a bottle of wine for like $3. You know, it's just like, but you know, you start meeting the other people who have money because, you know, they're trying to talk to you, obviously.
Sure.
They got money. So they're trying to associate and stuff. And so we started making friends with like the restaurant owner, and then like, you know, this guy who did renovations all over the town, you know, he started making friends with us. So then they were like having us over at their house for like barbecue and stuff. You know, it's like, it's cool because, you know, you start to connect, you know, deeper than just like, you know, seeing somebody from another country.
They all speak English?
You know, most of these guys did, just because they all, you know, got a little money. They've been to college and stuff like that. So, but yeah, man, crazy time.
Yeah, that's wild, dude.
Fun times.
So how long ago was that? That was last year?
No,
you've been out for 4 years.
Yeah, that was probably right. 5 years ago.
Okay.
5 years, 2017, 2018.
Yeah, and shit didn't start getting bad, what, until 21, 22? It was just a couple years ago that all that, 22
is when that started.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty wild,
it's
too,
crazy
man.
It's been that long, man. Because it feels like that shit just started, like, pretty recently.
Yeah.
But it's been going for a minute over there.
Yeah.
Right.
What other places do you get to travel to?
Yeah, so I spent a lot of time in Spain.
Okay.
Spain's incredible. It's my favorite place. I was actually just there a lot over Thanksgiving. I spent a lot of time in Spain, and then I did a deployment like in the 5th Fleet on a ship. So we went to like all of we pulled into Israel and Jordan and Oman and, you know, stuff like that. It kind of sucked because we were at sea for...
I was going to say, what's it like being
terrible.
Really?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
Really?
Yeah. Just like, you know, and I'm pretty easy, man. Like, I don't really like, you know, if I've got a good task and, you know, some good people to talk to, you know, it's all right, you know. But this was, this is rough, man, because like when I was there, like I was at the time I was undesignated. So I'm an undesignated seaman just working on the ship. So I'm like working with the deck department, working with the food department, you know. So I did like
everything.
6 months washing dishes, serving food, you know. Then I did another 6 months like working in the hazmat locker, just literally carrying 5 gallon buckets of paint, just up and down, you know, just like brutal, bro.
That sucks.
But it, you know, I'm glad I did it though, man, because these guys that I met there, like, you know, the best way I can explain deck department is like a bunch of guys who are like misfits of the military. Maybe they got in trouble before and they're just like, yeah, you can come in, but you got to be an undesignated seaman for a year, you know, and just work on the ship. So, you know, funny guys though, man, hilarious. All wrestlers. Most of these guys are just like all wrestler guys, you know, really? Like they're all like the rougher ones, you know, the operations guys, like the ones that watch the radar and stuff. They'll be like a little nerdier, but then like these guys are all like the
just meatheads,
got rough and tumble
on their hands, you know, yeah. Just like rough, you know.
So are you like confined? I guess you got like a pretty small, like they've got like some sort of like dorms in these on these ships.
Little berthings, yeah. Yeah,
what
little
are they called?
Berthings.
Berthings?
Berthings. So like, you know, we were in deck, I was in deck department at the time, so I'm with the deck berthing. So like, you know, there's 120 guys in this berthing.
That's just like a big room with a bunch of bunk beds or something?
A room with a hallway and then like hallways spread off that, and then it's three high.
Three bunk beds
on either side. So three, so, you know, 24 people like in one little aisle there. You know, it gets pretty slammed.
Huh?
Yeah, man. That's the worst.
I bet you get a bunch of dudes. Dude,
well, just from wrestling my whole life, right? Like I just hate smellies, right?
Yeah.
Like
oh,
it's
yeah.
like because you wrestle with dudes your whole life. So it's like you just immediately when you start wrestling them, you smell them.
Well, there's some dudes, know? And this is something I've laughed about before, but there's just like some guys that have certain smells.
Dude,
you know?
I know, bro.
You know, like there's some dudes that just smell a certain way.
Right.
And there's some dudes that you know, that smell, you know, they smell sweaty, but they smell.
It's just a human being.
Just
you
human,
know?
You know, but then there's some dudes that like, I don't know what you do after this or
like a nasty onion.
Dude. Yeah, dude. And there's just some peoples dude. that just smell worse than others, dude.
Yeah,
that was the worst. Yeah, so I was in there. Yeah. Just always worried about the smell. It's so funny you say that because that was the worst part for me.
I'm
it's
sure.
Just like, fuck,
yeah, I mean, that's the first thing that I thought of is, all right, you get 24 dudes in a room like. You know, I have an idea of what that room smells like. You
know? Well, I'm assuming the ships are just like the ones that you can go on in San Diego, right? Like
yeah.
Same size and everything.
Pretty much. Yeah.
They're not like they look big, but that shit's tiny on the inside. Like I was having to walk through, and I was like,
especially dude,
I
your
was,
size,
like, hunched over the whole time. Like,
dude, yeah,
it's tight, cramped in there. Like these, what would you call them? The
birthing.
Birthing. Yeah. Birthing. I mean. Because you see them on the ship and you're like, holy shit. Like, I mean, I would have hated that
dude.
Because
yeah,
it's
I mean, you're a big
so
dude.
Small.
I hated it.
I mean, I'm not a big dude and I would have hated it.
Yeah.
I just, yeah, man.
I'm like walking through and getting stuck. My shoulders are getting stuck on the sides.
Like, yeah, well, it's like all those little.
Yeah, you just like turn walk and, sideways.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, the worst part is like I was married in there. So like if you're not married, you know. If you're not married in the military, like I can see how it can be somewhat enjoyable. You know what I mean? But like when
sure.
you're in there, man, and you got, you know, you're barely even seeing the girl, you know, as is. And then you come back into her space, right? Like it's your guys' space, but like she's been inhabiting that space for however long. And then you come back into her space and, you know, there's just like that battle of like, you know, back and forth of like, you know, who's in charge?
Or, sure,
you know, like
right.
to
well,
a degree, right?
Because like how long were your deployments?
It just you know depends. Like I was on one that was like you know about 7 months, and then I got back, and then we left right again because they had a hurricane in Haiti, so that we went down there to like help them out and stuff. So then you know went down there, and then right after that I got you know I switched the job, so I was going to the CB. So then I had to go to a whole school that was you know another 6 months, and then I got there, and then I right on deployment with them. So it's like you know I'm having kids in my little breaks, right? Just because I'm
yeah.
like so excited to see my wife, and then now I'm having a child.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean, like
God, that's got to be so
know.
Hard, man. I
yeah,
can't imagine
man.
That.
It's tough, but you know, that's just the nature of the business. I mean, all these guys, bro, like all these guys are divorced, man. You know.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I mean, yeah. like you see a lot of guys, like they're they might be dating somebody for a short period of time, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, we're getting employed, and they immediately go get married.
Yeah, they get that money.
Yeah.
Because it's, yeah, they get, like, isn't extra, it, like, a thing, like, one and
yeah.
a half times
you get
or whatever,
that,
right?
That housing allowance, man, that stuff, that's nice, especially when you're, you know, making shit money, right? You get that extra $1,500 a month, man, it's, like, all the difference, you know?
Yeah.
You get to live off base and
so
stuff
you,
like
so
that.
So you don't, they don't give the housing allowance if you're not married?
So they will if you
have
been in, right?
Okay.
Like, let's say you make rank, you know, you make petty officer, you make third class, and then you're able to like fill out some sort of like request, right? If and that's if like the barracks are full, and you know there's a whole deal. Mm. But Yeah, they try to keep you locked up, man. They try to keep you there on the base. There's less trouble you can get in, mm-hmm. man. You get hammered on the base, you can just walk home. But, man, they're so concerned with DUIs and mm-hmm. stuff in the military. It's wild.
Yeah, you know? That makes sense. But yeah, man, I mean, shoot, I've got some clients right now that pretty high ranked that are buying a house, and their basic housing allowance alone, more than what they need to purchase this house. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't even care what you make. You got this much in housing allowance. Like, yeah, even with you moving from where you're moving to here, like, more than enough to cover your payment. You're good to go. Let's roll. Right. Here's your pre-approval letter.
That's great. Damn. Yeah.
I mean, that basic house, I mean, it can get up there $3,000-$4,000 a month.
Dude, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. And depending on how you file, like, each of them, they each get that.
Now, are they, oh, so each, so if they're married couple, okay, wow.
Yeah, well, they both go in as single. That are like how they file it as being as married, but living in a separate or whatever. Yeah. I forget how it is, but they each get a certain amount of BAH.
Yeah, man.
Hmm. So, because like they were for a while there, he was in one part of the country, she was in another part of the country. They each had their own place, so they each got it. Hmm. So, yeah. Well,
there's got to be something, man, with the taxes. Right. There's got to be a reason why it's so easy for them to get married, you know, for everyone to get married. And then they give, like, incentivize it almost. You know, there's got to be something on the back end, you know, or else there's just got to be, you know. Like, there's no reason why they make every single thing in there impossible. There's no – the stuff that they make easy, there's got to be something, you know. Sure. Like, I don't know what it is, but there's something there.
Right.
Like – yeah, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, so you got two kids.
Two kids.
How old are they?
So my son is about to be six. My daughter's four. You know, they're great, man. They got a, like I said, you know, I was married to her in the military. We, you know, she, the distance, and then just a whole bunch of things transpired. So she came back and lived with her family. So.
And she's from here?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
were you guys together before you went, before you left?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So we were just dating before I left, high school dating, right? And then when I left and then went there, you know, all the kids and, you know, all the stuff starts happening, right? So
when did you guys get married? Like right before you left or?
Yeah. So right when I got pretty much through my school, like that first phase of schooling, you know, we ended up getting married. She didn't even live with me yet at the time. She was going to college at Lindenwood, so she was still finishing college and stuff like that. So, you know, like I said, man, I got married, get that money, man, get that extra money for a year. So I did that, and you know, definitely wish I would have thought about that a little harder. But you know, I'm glad where we're at, right? Like, you know, everything happens for a reason. My kids have like grown me up astronomical amounts. You know, I'm way better of a man, you know, because of my kids, just seeing, you see all of your inequities and all of the things that you're trying to do, you know, in your kids, right? Like when you're hanging out with them all the time. So like when they, like little things are coming out or they're saying stuff and, you know, and my kids are being homeschooled by their mom, you know, they don't go to daycare. They hang out with, you know, their mom and their little homeschool group. So, you know, a lot of the people and the actions that they see are from me and their mom. Right. Mm-hmm. And it's just so crazy, the stuff that you see come out of these kids, you know, that's mm-hmm. just like, dude, this is like literally your mom. You
like
know,
sponges. Talking.
This is literally me. Like, I see me, you know,
I know.
And it just it feels good. But it's something to really take, you know, serious, because like we were saying at the beginning, man, like if you're not like on guard with that, man, they'll pick up some things that you don't want them to pick up, man, because we're not perfect, you know,
of course.
And it's just protecting their innocence, because, you know, it's everything to them. You know, their innocence as they're growing up and as they're being children, you know, it's just everything.
I'm sure we each have something funny that our kids have picked up.
Oh, yeah.
Besides cussing. So right. Connor started, I think I might have told you guys this, but so I chew tobacco.
Yeah.
Baseball thing, been doing it my whole life, just never stopped. And next thing you know, I'm at home, and this little fucker is walking around with a water bottle.
Right.
I'm like... What are you doing? It's empty. He's like, Dad, watch. He starts spitting into the water bottle.
Oh, no.
I can say this because I know my ex-wife doesn't watch the show. So if she saw that and knew this, she'd be pissed.
Right.
But just like I talked to him about adult words, they're not bad words. They're not cuss words. They're adult words. You can't use those until you're an adult. I said the same thing. I'm like, Dad, hey, what do we, you know, they call it Daddy's Yucky. That's what it is. It's daddy's yucky.
Yeah.
I was like, that's the yucky, the, you know, that's for when you're an adult. So when you're an adult, if that's what you want to do, you can do that. But don't ever do that again, especially at your mom's house.
Because that's the last thing.
But yeah, that was kind of like you said, they pick up on everything. But yeah, Connor's like, I just noticed. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? He's just walking around. And he's just like spitting into a water bottle. I'm like, oh, fuck.
What have I done?
What did I do? Shit.
Dude, so funny, man.
Oh, man, I'm trying to think of something that Calvin's done recently that's like, I mean, it's just, it's cuss words for sure. I mean, he just hears me cuss or hears me on the phone or, you know, I mean, that's probably, I mean, he's definitely, that's it for sure.
My son is obsessed with just biking. Dude, he's so good, man. And like, I say this to anyone who's got young kids, man, put him on a balance bike.
Jump.
Really? And you will never have to do training wheels, man. My son, he was on a balance bike. I got him one when he was way too young. Like, he was like a, still laying in a swaddle. Yeah. And I got it for him. And then he hopped on it and then he started learning and he never had training wheels. I mean, this kid's bombing ramps.
Really?
Like, yeah, dude. He'll go up to the pump track up like on at that highway in, right off highway in at that skate park. Dude, be riding the pump track. Like,
that's awesome.
It's, you know, about to turn six, right?
That's awesome.
I was terrified to ride a bike, dude.
Yeah.
Like, when I first started, I was so ready to just crash.
Dude. Like, I was terrified.
Especially on, like, a Huffy with training wheels. Like, he's, like, ripping, like, an REI mountain bike. So he's, like, you know, it's pretty sick. But, like, you know.
Dude, that's awesome. I saw you had your kid on a skateboard the
other day. Yeah, so he's upset. You know, I skateboarded, you know, a lot. I still will. Like, I don't, like, go hang out at the skate park. But, like, I'll go ride, you know, the skateboard and stuff. And he's getting good, man. It's so crazy just to see him, man. Dude, you show him how to do something, and then they just start doing it, and it's like, dude, it's so sick. Look at you, bro.
I had like a little childhood regression the other day, and I went, I couldn't find my old board, so I just went and bought one, and I just been messing around with it on the driveway. It's whenever I got an extra 15, 20 minutes, I just like go out there and just like just try to ollie and kickflip and shit, stuff I used to do as a kid, man. It's just.
It's fun.
Kind of takes me back, you know. Yeah. It's just something that's so difficult to do. Yeah, you know, it's so hard. And it's terrifying, too.
I tried it when I was, like, that was the thing. Like, I got one because of Back to the Future. Yeah. Like, I wanted to be Marty McFly. Like, I thought he was so cool. So I went and got a skateboard, and I would try and try and try. I mean, I was a short little fat kid. Or, well, I shouldn't say short. I was a tall, fat kid trying to ollie on a skateboard or even trying to get it, like, it just wasn't for me. And I was like, you know what, I'm gonna pass on this one.
Oh, man, I used to like go to skate park. I mean, I was never very good, but I always just loved like being around it, and like I love watching it, and I love like trying something for like 1,000 times and then eventually hitting it. Like, that
feels
so good. You know, I was never like great. I could ollie like down like a 2 or a 3 stair. I could like kickflip. I've probably landed like 20 kickflips my whole life, you know, and, you know, I could hit like a 50-50 or a board slide on like a short rail.
Right.
Like, so nothing crazy, but man, I would try 1,000 times. And then when I finally hit it, it's like, oh, dude, you know,
It was
just feels so good, man.
And especially just growing up in the town I was in, man, like, skateboarding was so hated, bro. Like,
really?
So
I believe it, because Troy's a kind of out there. It's a country town. Like,
Yeah, dude.
I'm sure hunting was huge.
Yeah, like, so you just didn't
fit
in. Wait,
you're skateboarding? You don't have a gun and you're not going hunting and killing things with us? Come on, what's wrong with you? You
got skinny jeans and circas on.
Yeah.
But the thing is like, I love taking on that persona. I don't know what it was. Like, I just loved being like the skater.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
It's like the rebel. They had a little like rebelness to them.
For sure.
Right.
I mean, I still like,
because everywhere you looked was like, jeans, skateboarding.
No skateboarding. No rollerblading. No bicycles.
Y'all like, fuck you. I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah.
Those no fear shirts. I had a bunch of those. Yeah. Remember those
don't do it sticker.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Remember those? Yeah.
I
actually, I watched.
Sobe Energy.
Yeah.
You guys ever watched the movie Grind?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, it's on HBO. I turned it on the other night. Like, literally the night that I bought that skateboard, I realized it was on HBO, and I watched like half of it before I fell asleep.
What were those Disney movies? They were.
With the monkey?
Not the monkey, but there was, I forget, it was like a Suds and Bubbles versus the
Brink.
Brink. Yes. Brink. Brink. That movie. Yeah, yes.
Brink.
Did you ever?
No. That was just fucking hilarious.
Yeah, dude.
Suds and Pups. That's
Suds
right.
Suds and Pups. And yeah.
What was the other one? The black and
Soul
yellow.
Skaters,
Soul
baby.
Skaters.
Soul Skaters. Oh, yeah. Dude, dude, so that, good. Yeah. That's one of my favorites. And then Johnny Tsunami.
Johnny Tsunami. Heck yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's cool getting them into something because I just, you know, it's tough. It's tough, man. Like the modern day, just sports and school and everything. It's just like, yeah, I want the kid to play sports and things like that. But it's just such a different world we live in, man. Like just like with just how parents are and how kids are and what they're exposed to at a young age. And it's just, it's tough. So like, you know, when I was young, I was getting started in sports, dude, as soon as I could walk.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I want to give him a little bit of time to sort of develop into himself before I just like kind of throw him to the fire and stuff, you know.
You want him to do what he wants to do.
The world, it's a crazy world, man, and I feel like if I just give him just a little bit more of an opportunity to, you know, develop some sort of moral compass and standard of life that, you know, it might work out a little better for him than it did for
me.
Is that why
you guys are homeschooling versus?
Yeah, and she's great, man. Like she's a great mom. She's she loves those kids, man, so much. And that's kind of the main thing is like, you know, and she doesn't work, right? Like I'm funding their stuff, you know. Like I want my kids to be homeschooled by their mom, right? Mm-hmm. So like if that requires me to give her more money or, you know, fund some sort of extra, you know, that I'm not court ordered to require. Like I'm good with that just because I know that the return on that is going to be great with my kids just being able to not be so tamed, right? Like from such a start. And then just like, you know, the stuff they're going to be exposed to, like I value their innocence. Like, and I know I won't be able to protect it forever, but, you know, I value them just being able to be a kid. Right. And when they get older and if, you know, they're begging us to go to school, like, I just want to go to school so bad. And it's like a massive thing, you know, we might reconsider, you know, and have a conversation about it. But, you know, for now, that's kind of the way that we're going. And, you know, she does a good job, man. She's good.
So you said is there a group you said that they're like,
yeah, so she's a part of a homeschooling group. So they're like a homeschool co-op. So they meet with the other kids, you know, and the moms are all, you know, holistic minded, nice, you know, good ladies, got their kids, you know, and things like that. So they're all like, it's kind of like a little woo woo free for
crunchy.
All.
You know, like, a little granola.
Yeah, a little granola, a little woo woo free for all. And
crystals in there.
No, not that far. you know, they'll put like arnica cream on their cuts, but I don't think they're like praying to rocks and stuff, you know. They'll use essential oils, but they're not like freaking saging each other.
Good.
but so she goes to this group and all the kids are good, so they'll meet up at like, you know, a park and all go for like a hike and play outside, have lunch, and, you know,
it's cool because they can make friends and stuff. Exactly. You know, it's like
that social aspect is the biggest thing.
That's what really
worry me about homeschooling. You know, it's just I just think about all of my friends that I'm still friends with to this day are friends that I made in school. So it's like,
no, and I'm the same way, but like my argument to that, and like I've thought about this too, and my argument is, well, dude, kids aren't social like they used to be. These kids, like, you know, 90% of them aren't social like they used to be. Like, so if they are in school, they probably aren't going to be that social anyways. And like, they're probably, all these kids are just waiting to get on their iPad, you know, when they get home. And like, they're not probably really talking of anything of substance anyways. Like, dude, when we were kids, man, there's no like phones or anything. We're just constantly getting into shit.
Yeah.
You know, like, and if that was how it was, I would be cool with
that. We were fucking around and finding out. Like, exactly. that was how we lived.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Driving around on our bikes, making forts in the woods.
You cannot go into a restaurant and see some kids just sitting there enjoying their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if you go, like even when I go to like my family gatherings, right? Like all the kids that are the kids that are growing up, the cousins' kids and stuff like that. Dude, when we were kids, we were sitting around the grown-ups listening to the stories, bullshitting, getting picked on, you know,
going in the basement.
By the time you
digging around and whatever's down there.
Right. Mm-hmm. By the time you
get annoyed,
right? Yeah, right.
sneaking a beer.
Right. By the time they get annoyed by you, they're like, "All right, go outside," you know? Yeah. But like this day and age, bro, those kids will sit quiet for 3 hours, you know, like watching some stupid shit.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Watching someone else play video games on YouTube. That's something
I don't understand that one.
Dude, that's one of those things that I watch. I'm like, how do you guys, like, And well, and it's like a huge market for it too. Like it's like one of the biggest things on YouTube is like watching other people play video games, which is just like one of
those
things.
What's it called? Twitch?
Twitch. Twitch? Yeah. Well, it's like its own thing. Yeah. Twitch is its own thing. Like I think it's, you know, I've never even been on it, but you know, from my understanding is it's just like you stream yourself playing video games and then you have like a webcam on yourself and you can like talk to your audience while you're playing, but just seems a little odd to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess if
I was never a video game guy. So, I mean,
me neither. Yeah.
I didn't play video games.
I got into it. I was into it, you know, high school, a little bit. I was never like very, very good. I mean, I was into it a little bit in high school, college. It was just, you know, we played, you know,
Call of Duty. I just remember all the guys that I played baseball with in college. We get done with practice and it was just like, Call of Duty. They had their own, like, the team had their own, like, tag that they were a part of. And, yeah, I mean, it was, that wasn't for me, though. Like, no. I'm like, eh.
I got into it for a little bit, but, man, Call of Duty, especially at the time, like, I picked it up, like, probably 5 or 6 years ago. I just downloaded it and, like, started playing. And then I played it for, like, 2 times. And I was like, dude, this is going to take so much of my time to get good at, and like because you just like respawn and just get killed like right away, and it's just like, dude, if I wanted to get good at this, it's gonna require so many hours, and it's like I already have too many other things that I do, and like I've only got so many hours in the day, and this is just not something that I care to get good at, and
especially as an adult, man, there's just like, so many guys that point? Like they put all their effort into these games and they're still broke. It's like, dude, you know what I mean? Like,
well, I'd rather put my effort into something that's, you know, going to make me more financially successful, more physically, like,
I get it for those like that are successful. And then like at the very end of the day, after they've gotten literally done with everything, that they go in to kind of like get their, just like, hey, that's their time to get their mind off of things.
Right.
But like, how many of those guys are actually doing that? Like, that's what they're using it for.
Right. Probably not very many.
No.
Well, and like those, I mean, I know about Twitch a little bit just from one of the podcasts I pay attention to. But you know, he's a decent size like streamer on Twitch, but it's Sugar Sean O'Malley. He has kind of a good Twitch following, but you know, and they talk about like the guys on there that are like professional video game players. And it's like, these guys are playing from 12 to 8 hours a day.
Oh yeah, my neighbor, his son is a professional gamer. Like VR, like I don't know what game it is, but like virtual reality. But he like some game, he's like one of the top 5 rated goalies in the world.
Jeez.
And like
NHL. I don't know what the name of the game is, but it's like it's almost like a Tron style type game.
I'm not sure.
Yet. And I don't know. But he's like, for a while there, he was like ranked as like one of the top 5 goalies in this game in the world.
It's honorable, right? I mean, to some respect, right?
Yeah. Like, to it's get like, top shit, 5 in the dude, world like, anything.
Right.
It's sick, impressive. Actually,
yeah. You know? And so, I mean, he goes and plays but like he's playing in tournaments across the country and things like that. Yeah. And you know, like actually colleges are asking him to, like, almost like there's gaming, like now is, like, NCAA going to come up with a virtual reality conference, you know, type thing. Dude. But there are schools, and like Maryville apparently out here in Chesterfield is like got one of the best gaming schools in the country. Jeez. They've got this whole specific thing where they're nothing but gaming. But yeah, I mean, I was just like, and every time I talk to him, he's like, yeah, he cams in the basement playing video games, and I'm just like, well, fuck, I mean. He's making money doing these tournaments and shit. So I'm like, okay, he's actually making money. That's one thing.
That's a different thing. But
I just wonder, man, like with that and even like the being on the computers and the phones, like, I mean, I'm sure you guys are just as bad as me, man. Always on that thing, man. Computer, phone, always, you know, always something with the screen. It makes you wonder, like, we are the first sort of generation to sort of test this out. You know what I mean? So it's like, obviously, like, taking in that much information, like, the amount of information my mind takes in a day, it's like, it's not supposed to take that in.
Right.
Like, it's just boom, 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 boom.
Well, we're kind of becoming part cyborg, you know, I mean, dude, like that whole, you know, integrating with technology. I mean, we're there, man.
I know, man. We're already there. My biggest just wonder about it, and I've really been trying to, you know, and not even from like a meditation standpoint, but just from like a silencing my mind standpoint. Like every night, like, you know, about an hour before I'm going to bed, like I'm off the phone, right? Like not scrolling, just because I'm trying to really silence my mind, man, because it's crazy how much stuff is in there. And then when you stop looking at stuff, how much it starts coming up, mm-hmm. like that.
Well, stuff, and it's, you know, freaks me out is when I reach for my phone, when I do it as like a reflex instead of like, hey, I need to pick up my phone. Like I just grab it without thinking about it and open it up. And I'm like, I didn't even like, it just, right. that didn't feel like I made that decision to go pick it up. I just felt like a reaction or a reflex. And like, ooh, that kind of freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Yeah. I mean, it, like you said, it's the first, we are that kind of that first generation where we're being, you know, we're integrated with technology and it's like, man, where is this going to go in 20, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years from now? You know, they say that there's that, you know, that Neuralink that, you know, Elon's talking about where they're basically going to put like this quarter size like chip in your head.
Right.
Which is like, man, I'm like what happens then?
Right.
Like where are we at?
You can
then?
Like talk to people with, like without even saying anything, they can read your mind. I'm like, fuck, I don't know if I want people reading my mind. Is there going to be, is there going to be a silence? Like, can you put like a do not disturb on that part of it?
Because I would like, hope so. Like, it's going to be, there's going to be a lot of like fights in the street.
Yeah. Right.
Especially when
I just wonder, man, like as far as like, you know, like our brains, like the operating system of our brain, right? Like when we're taking in all this information and looking at this screen, this blue lighted screen, you know, for 8-6 hours a day, you know, like at some point in time, like, does that, you know, affect us super negatively? Like, you know, brain tumor, like cancer in the mind, like obviously I'm not a doctor, but just like these sort of things. And it really makes you wonder, man, like, are the people that are overindulging in this the ones that are going to seriously be affected and infected, or is it just like, not, you know, nothing's going to come of it, right? But because like there's obviously always a varying degree of how much you indulge and who indulges and how much and, you know, and things like that. So yeah, I've just been trying to be cognizant, man. It's like I was listening to this guy talk about this whole thing. He's like studied EMF radiation for like the last 30 years and like all that. I was listening to him talk and I'm just like, holy shit, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, obviously everything's a fucking mass catastrophe in the world, but you know, something to just, crazy to think.
Yeah, it's technology, man.
Oh, dude. Another thing that kind of.
But I mean, that's what sucks is like our job.
Gotta have it.
Oh, yeah.
We are constantly on the phone. I mean, like between what we're posting on social media versus what, like answering replies. But then, like, I mean, I'll get out of here. We'll see. Probably I have like 10 phone calls, 5 voicemails, 100 text messages and emails. Like, it's constant.
It never fails. Whenever we get out of one of these podcasts, I look at my phone. I'm like, oh god, what catastrophe happened in the last hour that I haven't been paying attention?
Yeah. And just like as a high performer, you have to be on that thing.
Yeah. You have to,
you know,
have
like
to.
Dude, if you like, I just pride myself in responding within the minute, right? Like I love
you are
that,
fast. Yeah.
Dude. Right when I get that message, bro, I'll respond like just immediately because I know, like, I really appreciate that. So like, if I'm just doing that every time,
right?
You know, then whoever I'm talking to, it's like there's no gap of communicate. It's just like boom, boom, done. You know, out of the mind. You know,
yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Well, I love now how you can on the iPhones you can like mark as unread.
Yeah. Because I'll do that a lot.
Yeah. Because like I'll
sometimes
look,
you need a more thought out response.
Because I'll look at it and I'll be like, okay, that's going to be a little bit more than just a quick response.
Yeah. I got to explain and elaborate.
Yeah. Or it's like they're sending me a reminder, like, hey, like I'll click on it like to see what it is, and they're like, hey, when you get a chance, not any rush, can you run numbers for me on this address? And I'll, like, before, I just fucking forget.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell people, I'm like, hey, if you don't hear from me or have these numbers within, like, 3 hours after you text me or have some sort of response from me, just shoot me another, hey, just following up on this. But now I can save it. And it's, I mean, I've got 2 or 3 of those in there from today that I got to go back and run numbers on later.
Yeah.
So, but.
No, 100%, man. I always say, man, if screen time is something you're concerned about, being in the real estate industry is not the right one.
Bro, I know, man.
It's just the world we live in right now. I mean, you know, people want answers right away, and you know, everybody knows that this thing's pretty much connected to our bodies. So,
right,
exactly. You know, it
comes down to setting those boundaries, like we talked about.
Yeah, we've talked about that quite a bit. It's like you need to kind of put some boundaries in place with people, just because. You know, I mean, you gotta shut it off at some point, you know, like I always try to shut it off around 8 o'clock at night. That's usually after 8 o'clock, that's like time where we finally got Calvin down for bed. Me and Gina can hang out. And that's like usually our, you know, the only really hour and a half you know, that her and I usually get together. We can actually hang out and, you know, just do whatever we feel like doing.
Dude, so, that's just so important.
Oh, it is,
for your wife, man. Like, yeah. You're just like giving her that time because, like, you know, as you're her husband, right? That's like grinding, trying to provide like a sick life for your family. Your time is so limited. So like, if you get to the end of the night and then you again put more effort and energy towards your work instead of your wife, and you do that just over and over and over and over again, dude, now you don't even know the girl.
Mm-hmm. You're gonna be like me.
Yeah.
And like me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Then you don't even know the girl. And it's just like a learning thing, right? Like, you learn that I'm sure you did too, right? You go through that and you learn and you're like, oh fuck, well, yep, that's it right there. Yep. Right?
By the time I figured it out, it's too late.
Exact same, bro. Right there with you, man. And so, like, I just know that. You know, I know that's the way, you know, when you get to the end of the night, man, you got yourself a good girl that's here for you, taking care of your shit, loving you, you know, you got to dedicate that time to her because it's just it's like a cognizant effort that means so much to her.
Oh, for sure.
That hour and a half that you're like, look, I'm putting everything aside. I'm hanging out with you, you know, and she just like, they love that. Right.
Yeah, of course.
And it's such a little action, right? It's not like that takes that much, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'd much rather hang out with my girl and, you know, be on the phone anyways.
Oh, 100%. 100%. It's just sometimes, man, there's just days that go by where you have just a million people wanting your attention, and it's just tough. It really is. And, you know, just finding that happy medium, really. I mean, and just kind of balance. But, you know, I mean, it's easier said than done.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, for sure, man.
100%.
And so you have a boy and a girl.
Yeah. Yeah,
what's it like with like one of each? Which one's been easier, harder?
I don't know what we're having.
Oh yeah,
no, wow. Well, my wife's due in 3 weeks. That's so hard. 3 weeks.
And I've got two boys that are
boys. Yeah, man. Nuts. So the girl is like, I just am. She's obsessed with me. I'm obsessed with her. She's just like
the
sweetest little thing, dude.
Little princess.
And it's so funny because you start to see like. You know, you start to see when you have a little girl, it makes you look at girls differently because you just see the girl as just a bigger little daughter of yours. Mm. You know,
she's somebody else's little daughter.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And you see those little things come out, you know, like in my daughter, like I had someone back into my freaking truck and messed the bumper all up. So I put a new bumper on it. They were with me. I was like sweating, putting this bumper on, right? I finally got it on and I was so happy about this bumper. I'm smacking the bumper, telling the kids like, look at this thing, man. This thing looks good, don't it? And then 3 days later, my daughter's over. She's riding her bike outside. She just walks over and just smacks the bumper. She's like, nice bumper, Dad. You know, like, it's like, she's like, she don't care, but that's like what a girl does. Sure. Like, she's like, but with my son, you know, he's just, you know, and I went through the same thing, man. I was with my sister and my mom in the house all the time. So there's that inherent sort of battle of power that he kind of has as like a boy turning into a man, right? Mm-hmm. Because like he positions himself over the girls inherently in some regard, but he doesn't, like, he's still like responsible to them, right? Like that's his mother, like that's his main source of direction. And then like his sister, right? Like he hangs out with her all the time, so like, you know, she probably gets on his nerves a little bit. He's a great brother, like loves her to death, loves his sister, loves his mom. But you can just see those little things in him, you know, little attention, needing to be wrestled, you know, needing to be thrown around a little bit, you know. And yeah, he's probably been the toughest, but he's at the same time, he's great. You know, he's just a great kid, man. Just easy, love life, you know.
You going to get him into wrestling?
Yeah,
hell yeah.
Of course. Yeah. So he's so I'm going to take it a little bit different approach. So I think
how old were you when you started?
7.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to take him on a little different approach. I'm not just going to put him on a team, you know, put him at Francis Howell Central, you know, team and let him kind of figure it out. I'm going to really focus on, you know, teaching him the moves, you know, that a few different moves that are going to, you know, that he's going to try, right? Like, and not give him just a whole Rolodex of moves that he has to practice and a bunch of drills and stuff like that. Because when I was wrestling, man, like I got burnt out on it. Like at the beginning, it's so taxing on the practice and the tournament every weekend. And it's just a lot, man. Like it's just a lot. And I'm going to take him and I'm going to, you know, input him in for the AAU tournaments and stuff and just have him be like an individual. Mm. Right. And take him there, let him get a little experience, let him get his ass whooped a couple times, let him get how it goes, you know, how the wrestling tournament goes. And then I'll start just probably putting him in at Perler, right? Like up there and just have him go once or twice a week. And I really think that that's going to give him more of a drive to be better and better and better versus, oh, fuck, another practice.
Did you go to Perler?
Yeah.
Man, I wish I would have.
Dude, it was night and day, bro.
What is that?
So Perler is like a, I mean, you could probably speak on it better than me because I didn't go, but I always wanted to. And it's like a camp or like a program. It's like a you know, off-season place where people would go off-season and like, you knew if somebody went to Perler, at least when I where I was like, oh man, this guy's serious and he's gonna be good because right. like yeah, he was like right. the all the people that were good at good did all, shit in the off season and it was like notoriously tough and yeah, like yeah. you know I mean you yeah, could probably dude, speak it, on no, it much
was,
better than I
it
could.
Was great it, like it took my wrestling to like night and day difference mm-hmm. on just wrestling with them and like my mom she actually so my mom was babysat by Nick and Tony's older sister. So there's Nick and Tony Perler are the ones who run that whole Perler thing. Nick runs the St. Louis side. Tony runs the stuff in Kansas. But my mom was a you know babysat by them, so I just had like the connect. So I started coming to their practices and stuff. And when I was going there, man, he would hold practice like Monday night he'd have it in Columbia, Tuesday night he'd have it, and or Monday night he'd have it at like Francis House Central or somewhere. Tuesday night he'd have it in Columbia. Wednesday night he'd have it in. At one of the Francis Howell, Thursday night he'd be in Granite City. So he was just like posting up at these high schools to have practice. So that's how I got started. And it was like a lot, you know, driving around mm-hmm. back and forth. And then he's just opened that facility up there in Moscow Mills, which is a sick facility. Like my mom's been working out there cause they got a full gym and they do classes and CrossFit and stuff. So my mom's been working out there and, you know, that's what my little brother does now. My little brother's pretty good too, man. He's a big boy. You know,
how old is he?
He's, about to be 13.
Okay.
Nice.
So he's a big boy, man. D-end. Yeah. Heavyweight wrestler, D-end.
Oh, dude, yeah.
He's big, man. He just, you know, my mom's got a little money these days. You know, when I was a kid, we were poor, so that's why I was skinny.
Yeah.
You know? Well, I mean, that's how they did it. Back in the medieval times, they knew you were rich by how big you were.
Right, right. Yeah.
Right. Right. Now they got a little money. My mom, she was an insurance agent, so she sold her whole business, and now so they've been eating out.
Nice.
Eating out a little bit.
Yeah, I can't wait to, you know, get Calvin into wrestling. It's just you know, when the time's right, you know, I don't want to get him in. I like you said, I don't want to burn him out just because it's like, because wrestling is, it's so hard. And like, I mean, I was not an in shape. Wrestling is what changed me. Yeah, I always say like, man, it just like, it changed me. And I didn't really get into it until, you know, until I was in high school, and I wish I would have done it sooner, but
yeah, you know, I just wish I would have taken it more seriously mm-hmm. is my thing, because like you don't know what's gone until it's gone. Yeah. Right?
It was the only sport I ever took seriously until I got into jiu-jitsu.
I mean yeah, I liked it, right? I took it serious, but like I would still be like smoking weed with my buddies,
yeah.
right?
Oh,
like
yeah.
like I'm not just like putting it all to the side like for this, you know, mm-hmm. because like I just. And then, like, when it's over, it's like, dude, that was so fun, you know? It was so good. And then the thing is I coached this year. I coached at Francis House Central. And, dude, it's just so – it's too much. It's, like, for a normal human being to try to manage that doesn't work at the school district, it's, like, highly do not recommend to anyone, like, dude.
Coaching?
Yeah.
Well, I did it. I went in. I coached at wrestling at my high school for – some bullshit. I mean, it was during the like 2020, so like height of the pandemic. I went in there and
how political was that shit,
bro? Well, that was ultimately why I stopped because I was coaching, and you know, essentially I was the coach. You know, he found, you know, he basically saw me on social media and followed up with me and was like, hey man, I know you went to St. Mary's. I know you were a, you know, pretty good wrestler when you were here, and I see you're, you know, still grappling now. Like, would you ever want to come in and help coach and kind of be a, you know, we don't have a lot of guys that are in that like 170 pound weight class. And like, we just had like all of our seniors graduate. So we've got like one senior on the team and the rest of the team is like freshmen and sophomores. So I like, you know, I'd love for you to come in and just be, you know, a good drilling partner and help coach. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I can, you know, I'll, you know, so I started making it in there a couple days a week. And yeah, and then we had to start wearing masks while we practiced.
Dude,
and
fuck.
then
it's like suicide.
No, 100%. And then like, and then we had to go get tested once a week. And then like, you know, sure enough, every week like somebody had it, and right. I'm like, dude, like I can't, you know, and then, you know, there was a guy that had it who I was wrestling with, and they're like, oh, you know, you should quarantine. I'm like, dude, I am not going to shut my life down because I, you know, because I right. rolled a 5-minute round with this guy, you yeah. know, like I, dude. My whole, like, I got a business to run here. I got all these other things. I'm not just going to sit in my house for 10 days. Like, dude. You guys can get fucked. So I didn't tell the coach that. I was just like, man, I'm sorry. I just can't. This is affecting my career. And like, I've already got, you know, only so much time on my hands with work, and I still am trying to train jiu-jitsu as much as I can, and this is kind of starting to interfere with that. And, you know, as much as I'd like to continue coaching, it's just, I just can't make it work, especially with
the same thing, man.
You know, especially if you're going to, it was the testing and all the masks and all the stuff. I'm like, I just don't want to deal with it. So I ultimately was just told him, I can't, man, not right now. And maybe someday I'll go back to it, but I just have so much more fun with jiu-jitsu, honestly. In which I think you should give that a try, because I think you would love it.
I want awesome, to.
Bad. He just started. It's last awesome. Week was his first week. Yeah. I think you would love it.
I've done it quite a bit. Like when I was in Jacksonville, you know, stationed on that ship, I would go to that Lutus MMA and roll all the time. But it's just, dude, it hurts, bro.
Yeah.
Shit hurts. And my biggest fear right now is getting back in there and then my feet just being destroyed.
Yeah.
Dude, the knuckles on your toes, bro, like the blisters.
Well, that's something. Bro. Yeah, that's something to take some getting used to, is not wearing shoes.
It's the worst. You know? When you're starting back, dude, it's like, whew,
yeah.
You know, like.
It's so fun.
Yeah, no, I definitely want to. You guys go to Watson's?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, down in the city. I love it, man. It's been, I'm one of the coaches there. I teach two nights a week, so.
I've been twice, and I can't, I'm hooked.
Yeah, it's fun. So fun.
It is, dude. It's a blast. It just, I mean,
I just
it's like wrestling,
come out of it,
but
too, just fucking just dead.
Oh, yeah.
Finally got my gi, came in.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, it's like wrestling, but it's like old man wrestling. That's why I like it. It's very strategic.
It's strategic, and it's like, it can be it can be a lot slower. You can slow things down.
Oh, yeah.
And like, you know, with wrestling, there's never like a point where you can just like chill.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know, like with jiu-jitsu, it's like, there's lots of points where you can like, all right, I'm chilling. I got this guy in my guard. I don't think he's going anywhere for a second. I can catch my breath. Okay. All right. What now? You know? And like, okay, well, let me think about it's very strategic. Whereas wrestling is just like, go, 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 go. You know, got to keep moving. Got to, you know, got to move, got to score, got to pin, you know? And it's like, it's just a lot more exhausting. Whereas jiu-jitsu is just a lot more relaxed. It's got like more of that, like kind of chill vibe to it in some places. And you know, there's a lot of, yeah, it's fun. I love it, man. I can't get enough. I've been doing it for several years now, and
that's what I miss, man, is just having that grapple,
you know?
Like, well, just that
exhaust, yeah,
you know, well, it feels so good.
Yeah, you get done with it, and you just
like us as just dudes, right? Like, we're just being nice to people all the time, we're fucking, you know, being easy, like
anger
and
out,
and then you just get in there, and it's just like, oh,
you can't. I mean, after you're done with a heart, like on Saturdays, for instance, we roll. I mean, our stand, so it's me and there's a group of us that get together, is anywhere from, you know, 12 of you know, anywhere from like 14 guys to like 6 guys show up on the Saturday mornings. And it's just all of us who are, you know, a little bit more advanced. And we just roll hard rounds our standard is usually about 50 minutes. So, you know, like this past weekend, it was like 10 5-minute rounds.
Yeah.
Which is a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and so by the end of that, dude, you're dead. And like, you know, and like, there's nothing else. The rest of the day seems easy compared to that. You know, the rest of your life is just, I mean, there's nothing harder. Yeah. There's nothing else I'm going to do today that's going to be harder than that. So it just kind of makes the rest of your life seem a little bit easier. And, you know, I think, and it's one of the only times that, you know, other than doing podcasting where I, you know, the whole world shuts off for me. Like, obviously I can't be on my phone when I got another dude on top of me trying to strangle me, you know, you know, like I can't be thinking about that, you know? Oh, I didn't respond to that email. Boom. I'm dead. You know?
Right. That's what I want, you know, especially for having sons, right? You bring them into that world, or you teach them grappling and wrestling and stuff like that. And then their fear of man is just so much less, you know, like, cause then when you're growing up, like, if you've been wrestling kids that are about your same age, and you know, you've seen people, you know, pushing and pulling and stuff like that, like, it makes you just less fearful.
You're confident.
Yeah, yeah. You're just like, dude, this guy, like, he's not gonna do anything to me. You know what I mean? Like, I'll snap him down and spin around.
Yeah. I'm gonna get behind his ass. I'm gonna get behind him, and he's not gonna be able to do anything. Because it's like, how many there's such a small portion of the population that has experience grappling.
Yeah.
You know, and
yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. You and jiu-jitsu, wrestling, one of those things where you can look at somebody and like, they might not look physically like intimidating, but boy, when they grab a hold of you, you're like, oh, you know, I've been shocked numerous times by, like, you know, for example, like there's a buddy of mine is, you know, he's an electrician, and, you know, he's not like out of shape by any means, but you would never look at him and be like, oh, that dude's a killer, you know, but like Matt Duffy, I know you're out there. You've strangled me thousands of times. You know, he's been training since he was 18. Him and I are the same age. He's been training for 12 years. And so he is just an absolute animal, you know, but you know, you look at Matt, you never say, like, he's not like this big, like hulking jack dude, know, but boy, he grabs a hold of you, you're fucked. He's like, getting a hold of your neck.
It was like the first guy that I rolled with was half my size submitting me like that.
Yeah.
I was like, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's so fun. But, well, Wyatt, is there anything else you wanted to cover before we get you out of here?
Not really, man. I appreciate it. It's a good chat.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, man. It was fun having you on. Yeah,
absolutely. We end it with one more question. We kind of hit you guys with a surprise on this one. It's called the Tombstone Game. Here lies Wyatt Hayes. What's it say on your tombstone?
Wyatt Hayes, a loving and dedicated father who created a trust for his kids, 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 and allowed them to live in abundance and peace.
There you go.
Love it. That's
there
perfect.
You go. Perfect.
That's perfect.
If I had to choose, you know, it'd put me on the spot.
No, that's good. I like that. That was a good one.
That's why we do it.
Yeah, for sure. No, that was really good. All right, guys, make sure you hit that subscribe button. If you haven't already, hit that like button under the video and comment what you guys thought below, and we will see you next time.